So where did that come from? Have you ever said that to yourself? These words burst out of your mouth and you don't know where they came from. You don't know why you said them. You weren't planning to say anything, but it comes out of you, surprising you and surprising the person you were speaking to. I think that might have been maybe a first reaction from Elizabeth as she proclaims this word about Mary with a loud voice. Where did that come from? So when we left our story last week, the second in our stories of visitations, the unexpected and surprising ways God shows up. At the end of our story last week, the angel Gabriel had come to Mary and told her unexpectedly that she was going to have a baby. And how that was going to happen and who this baby was going to be. And then says to her, your cousin Elizabeth in her old age has conceived. She who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. Now notice that the angel doesn't say to Mary, you should get up and go and see. You should go check this out, because if you go check this out, then you'll know that it's true. The angel doesn't say that. He says, nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary's response is a response of faith. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. It's only when the angel leaves her that Mary shows initiative and industry. She gets up and she goes without delay south to the hill country in Judea. Now, this is sort of an unexpected turn of events. It is a week-long walking journey from Nazareth to Judea. And remember, this is a girl, maybe 13, maybe 14 years old. She's probably never been any place else but Nazareth. She is from a poor family, but something in her compels her to get up and go south to Judea. That is unexpected. What is also unexpected is the way that Elizabeth, her respectable older kinswoman, welcomes her. I can imagine that Mary went not intending to tell anybody what had happened to her. I can imagine that she went assuming that nobody would know because she's just found out she's pregnant. She's not showing yet. And I can imagine that she was anticipating that when her very respectable older kinswoman finds out that she is pregnant, that the societal expectations would kick in and there would be condemnation, there would be shame. But Elizabeth doesn't do that because Elizabeth has lived a whole lifetime of knowing what it feels like to be outside, to be not accepted. She has had a whole lifetime of being known as a failure because she could not conceive. And so Elizabeth throws open her arms and her home and welcomes this one that her neighbors would expect her to send packing. With such joy, with such hospitality, with such honor. It is the same kind of inclusive love that the child inside of her young cousin will show to prostitutes and sinners, a love that looks beyond the shame of Mary's condition to see God's redeeming work in one who has been excluded and rejected. So how does Elizabeth know this? How does she know what's going on with Mary? Well, there's a clue that is earlier in the Gospel of Luke. It's when Gabriel comes to Zechariah. We read this 2 weeks ago and announces to Zechariah that he and Elizabeth are going to have this baby, John the Baptist. And the angel says about this baby, even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Even before his birth, there in his mother's womb, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit enables John to recognize this other child, and he does what he's going to do. So the first time he does it, he announces who this is, who it is that's coming, announces it to his own mother. By the way, he leaps in Elizabeth's insides, leaping for joy, and Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit as well. I also wonder if Mary... if Mary was pushed by the Holy Spirit south, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say anything about the Holy Spirit there. But I wonder because she's doing something so unexpected. And when Mary walks in the front door and Elizabeth hears the sound of her voice and the baby inside of her leaps with joy, there's this liberation for Elizabeth in this moment. She is set free because remember, she's been in seclusion. She's hidden herself away since she found out she's pregnant. She's been hiding out. No one knows about this miraculous pregnancy. And she's been hiding out, and she's been there. Probably Zechariah is the only person she's seeing. And if you recall, Zechariah has been silent since he was in the temple. 6 months, he's been silent. I can imagine it had been really quiet in their household. Now the first words out of her long closed mouth are not about herself. It's not to announce her own pregnancy. It is a spirit-driven proclamation that reveals to Elizabeth and to Mary the reality of what's happening before them. And celebrates that. It's a word of blessing and honoring, not just because Mary is going to be the mother of God, but because Mary has believed that the Lord will fulfill what he has promised. Such a joyful proclamation coming out of Elizabeth by the power of the Spirit. I don't know, maybe she asked herself the question, where did that come from? Maybe Mary asked herself the question, where did that come from? Imagining what it might be like for Mary to hear these words. Remember, she is not supposed to be pregnant at this point in her life. It's a pregnancy that is going to cause disappointment at the very least among the people that she knows well, her rabbi, her parents, her betrothed. A pregnancy that has the potential to bring shame, and she's carrying that secret with her on that journey south from Nazareth to Judea, not knowing how all of this is going to unfold. I can imagine that Elizabeth's words to her were like cool water on a hot day. She didn't know how much she needed it until she heard it. Receiving the assurance and the support and the good news that she is not alone in this. And the Holy Spirit moving through Mary for her to be able to hear these words and what they mean and to take them in and then to be able to offer her own song of joy. She cannot keep quiet. It bursts out of her, this song of joy that we know as the Magnificat, a song of such hope and promise about what the future holds, that in the future that this child brings, children will have no fear of violence. All people will have a place and the possibility of work and job and safety. We will be fed and we will feed others. We will be blessed and we will bless others. We will bring justice and receive justice. It is a song of such hope about a future filled with bright promise, a future that is worth fighting for. The Holy Spirit is so active and moving in this story. We so need now Elizabeth's and Mary's. Elizabeth's who will look past the worst of our time and see how God is moving and redeeming the worst of situations. Mary's who are willing to say yes and then celebrate. Celebrate that we are not alone in what God calls us to do. This Advent series that we've been in, it's been about looking in the Bible for stories about God's unexpected and surprising visitations. And our first two stories, the visitation happened because God sent an angel. But in this story, the visitation is more complex than that. We have this visitation of this young girl traveling south to visit her older, respectable kinswoman, but we also have mysterious visitation of the power of the Holy Spirit, equipping one to be able to speak a word that needed to be heard, and equipping the other to be able to hear that word and incorporate it into who she understands she is and know that she can do this thing. So it sort of then begs the question, is the Holy Spirit still moving? How do you know it's the Holy Spirit? Well, I think sometimes the way you know it's the Holy Spirit is when words come out of your mouth that you don't know where they came from. You were not planning it. It came out of your mouth. But clearly, it was something that someone needed to hear at just that moment. And sometimes the Holy Spirit moves in a way that nudges you to go someplace or do something, and you know you cannot possibly do this thing on your own. And then through the word of someone else, there is this sense of peace and assurance that yes, indeed, God is with me. I know that the Holy Spirit is alive and well and moving in this community of faith. Last week, one of our folks invited a friend to come with her, someone she works with, to come to Anton's concert on Sunday afternoon. And that friend said to her, well, why don't I just go to church with you? And so she came. And our member reported to me later that afternoon that this friend said, oh my goodness, the Holy Spirit is so strong in that place, so moving. And maybe you're someone who you're really aware of that, and maybe you're not aware of it, but let me tell you, it is happening. It is here in this space. And I have such a longing, such an urgency for people to experience that. And so I'm so glad that so many of you are inviting folks to come and be a part of that so that they too can catch a sense of that. But I also want you to know that inviting thing, it didn't just start happening in the last couple of weeks. It's been going on for a while. And Ryan Batchelor has a story to tell about that and the impact that's had on him and his life.
Okay. Hello. First off, I'm lighting the mood a little. My mom's here, very, very nervous, and I know she might cry later on. And Karen, wherever Karen is. So just take a deep breath now. Take a deep breath. Didn't help me at all, but okay. So this church is one of the most inviting churches I've ever seen in my entire life. Every single time I come in every week, Sunday afternoons with youth, there's a new person every single Sunday. And it's either just adults inviting friends or the youth inviting their friends. And then if they like it, then they'll invite their friends. And so when I was in seventh grade, I go to Lakeland Christian Academy, and I met Heather, and we were in choir together. And we never really talked religion, just because she kind of knew I was in a dark time, and I was really angry at God, and I didn't want to talk about that, even though we went to Christian school. I just didn't believe in it. And then one day, she kind of had this urge, and she asked me to come visit the church on an Easter, because, well, Easter's one of the greatest services here, so y'all should come next year. Anyways, and then she told me that their drummer is about to move to Florida, and they were going to lose their drummer, and she knew that I'd play the drums, so I asked her about playing the bass. She asked me about playing the drums, and so she invited me, and I came on the Easter, I believe so, and I loved it. It was amazing, so inviting. It was lovely. Like, my heart was just warmed by everyone here, and just everyone coming up to you. They knew you were new, and it's like other churches, like, they kind of assume, oh, someone else will get them, but I swear I shook every person's hand or something. And so I started playing the drums here, so I've been here for 3 years now. Still not a member. Maybe soon. So I'm going to invite Jordan and Victoria up, and we're going to be doing the song Angels by Khalid. They'll be dancing, I'll be singing. This song's really about the people in your life that have helped you, like, get to the better places, and, like, the quote-unquote angels and the people that are passed on. So